Hello, and welcome to In Conversation With, a podcast from The Lancet Neurology. It's September 2021, and I'm Florence Wilkes-Costalis. This month, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Priya Poulter, Assistant Professor of Medical Sciences and Epidemiology at Columbia University Irving Medical Center, whose new research on the role of blood pressure in cognitive health is published in our issue this month. Hello, Dr. Poulter, and welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak about our paper.
First of all, could you please remind our audience on what hypertension is and explain why cardiologists and public health experts consider it to be a risk factor?
Of course. Hypertension, or what individuals most commonly hear of as high blood pressure, is a condition of the heart that is characterized by excessive pressure on the arterial walls when the heart contracts or beats. And it is this excessive pressure that causes the heart to work harder and over time can result in significant strain on the heart and the blood vessels. And therefore, we see an increase in the risk of disease, not only in the heart, but other organ systems as well. Hypertension is particularly important because it is one of the most prevalent cardiovascular disease risk factors. It affects an estimated 1.4 billion individuals worldwide. And this is actually predominantly in low and middle income countries where access to adequate healthcare to actually manage blood pressure is also often limited. And we can expect the burden of hypertension to increase, which is also significant. So as risk factors for hypertension, such as physical inactivity, poor diet, and obesity also become more prevalent, we're going to see an increase in the prevalence of hypertension as well. I think clinicians and public health experts are particularly concerned about hypertension because it not only decreases the flow of blood and oxygen to the heart, causing diseases of the heart, but it also can lead to ruptures or narrowing of arteries that supply blood and oxygen to the brain. So there's substantial evidence showing that hypertension can lead to a number of adverse health outcomes, macrovascular and microvascular complications. This includes conditions such as heart failure, kidney disease, cerebrovascular disease, as well as stroke.
A few years ago, in 2017, a report from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering and Medicine on preventing cognitive decline and dementia, A Way Forward, identified blood pressure management in people with hypertension as a promising intervention for the prevention of Alzheimer's disease. Could you please explain why they came up with this conclusion?
So the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine report on preventing cognitive decline and dementia was prepared by a committee of experts. And this was in an effort to synthesize data on the growing number of studies designed to examine the prevention of cognitive decline and dementia. So review was conducted specifically for the committee by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, or AHRQ. And this review focused on randomized clinical trials of at least 6 months in duration, as well as large prospective cohort studies. And this was with the goal to examine the evidence on the effectiveness, the comparative effectiveness, as well as safeties and harms of interventions for the prevention or delay of age-related cognitive decline. And it was based on this review that the committee concluded that overall, there was really not sufficient data at the time of the report in 2017 to conduct a public health campaign on what would be effective interventions for cognitive decline and dementia. And so for randomized clinical trials, this was in part due to the timing of the intervention and the short duration of follow-up relative to what we know to be a relatively long latency period of dementia. And for prospective studies, the data really continue to be limited by confounding factors as well as selection biases. And, you know, although a population-wide campaign could not necessarily be concluded from the review, the committee did feel that there was promising evidence to suggest that there was the potential of cognitive benefit from blood pressure management in people with hypertension. And this was in addition to cognitive training and physical activity. But ultimately, these were all with the caveat that there was a need for additional investigation. So ultimately, the committee decided that the evidence from randomized clinical trials of blood pressure at the time of the review was determined to be modest, but was actually well complemented by the observational data to date. And the reason that they made this conclusion was in part because of what we know about the plausibility of a link between blood pressure and cognitive health. So a link has been well established between subclinical cerebrovascular disease and dementia in epidemiologic studies. And given what we know about hypertension being strongly linked to the incidence of stroke and cerebrovascular disease, all this evidence really points to blood pressure management being potentially very important for preventing cognitive decline and dementia. So in this case, specifically, if blood pressure is lowered, blood vessel damage may be reduced, leading to improved blood flow to the heart and other critical systems, which would include the brain.
And have randomized clinical trials investigated the safety and efficacy of blood pressure management in the prevention of cognitive decline?
There have been a handful of contemporary trials that have examined the safety and efficacy of blood pressure management for the prevention of cognitive decline and dementia. And in our paper, we specifically discuss the findings of three contemporary trials published in the last 5 years after the release of the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine report that we just discussed. And this included the HOPE-3, INFINITY, and the SPRINT-MIND trials. It's important to note, I think, that all the trials have had different blood pressure treatments and target levels and varying treatment durations as well. Most notably, I think, SPRINT-MIND, which included individuals with hypertension but did not have diabetes, dementia, or a history of stroke, was the first randomized controlled trial to treat to a much lower blood pressure target than prior studies. So the intensive blood pressure control group was treated to a systolic blood pressure level less than 120, and that was compared to a standard treatment goal less than 140. And what SPRINT-MIND found was a reduced incidence in both mild cognitive impairment and a combined mild cognitive impairment and dementia outcome among the intensive blood pressure control group versus the standard treatment group. And additionally, compared to the standard treatment group, intensive treatment was also associated with a smaller increase in cerebral white matter volume lesion. And so we not only saw differences in imaging-based markers as well as the incidence of MCI and dementia. Safety was in particular also examined in the trial. So the rate of serious adverse events were not different between the intensive and the standard treatment groups. There were some differences in minor adverse events, specifically hypotension and syncope, and those were higher among the intensive treatment group versus the standard treatment group, but they were still relatively rare, often less than 5% or so. So I think SPRINT-MIND provided an indication for how low a target of blood pressure could actually be to have beneficial effects for cognitive health in the absence of adverse sequelae. And I think really affirmed that a lower blood pressure target may provide benefits that go beyond cardiovascular health.
And what do findings from observational studies add to those from randomized controlled trials?
So given the latency of dementia and the evidence showing that it takes decades to develop clinically manifest symptoms, it is actually not feasible and would be economically challenging to have a randomized controlled trial that followed individuals across the life course. It's particularly difficult to design the ideal randomized controlled trial given that the optimal window for intervention is most likely in midlife or earlier, but the optimal window for outcome ascertainment is in late life when symptoms are more evident and dementia is most likely to be diagnosed. So because of this, a trial that is started later in life may not be efficacious, and a trial that is started too early may actually not have a long enough follow-up to assess the outcomes of interest. So it's because of this limitation to randomized controlled trials that I think observational studies have been quite useful to really expand our understanding of risk and protective factors for age-related cognitive decline and dementia by really allowing us to assess exposures and outcomes across the life course. And the reason this is important is because it's often that risk factors, including hypertension, have a unique age-dependent association with cognitive health outcomes that I think can only appropriately be examined in a life course setting. So, for example, with observational data, it's been documented that the association of hypertension with risk of dementia is attenuated and potentially reversed in late life. And this could be due to a number of underlying health conditions, ischemic heart disease, frailty, heart failure, and all these conditions are associated with worse cognitive function as well. So I think augmenting randomized control trial data with observational data has been useful at furthering our understanding of the optimal age or life epoch of blood pressure control that would ultimately be beneficial for cognitive health.
And so what have we learned from these observational studies over the past 5 years specifically?
So observational studies have been critical to characterize the prospective associations of blood pressure levels and control on cognitive outcomes across the life course. So recently published data have affirmed the finding that midlife hypertension is particularly important for late life cognitive decline and dementia risk. And we've seen this consistently across studies. So recent data from the CARDIA study actually showed that midlife hypertension has measurable impacts on cognitive change that appear as early as in midlife. And even earlier than that, early adulthood measures of hypertension that were ascertained in the cardiovascular risk in young Finn's study recently shed new light on the relevance of elevated blood pressure measured in adolescence and young adulthood and its impacts on cognition and midlife. And so I not only think it's the timing of a single measure of blood pressure levels and control that are relevant for cognitive health and have been examined in observational studies, but also the associations of variations in blood pressure across the life course have been well documented in observational studies as well. So we've seen in the BP-COG study that a high cumulative time-dependent blood pressure measure over 25 years was associated with accelerated rates of cognitive decline. And variations in blood pressure, either large increases or large decreases, were also associated with increased dementia risk in the Rotterdam study. And it's not only these variations in blood pressure that seem to be important for cognitive health, but if we look specifically at changes in hypertension status, that has also been found to be associated with cognitive health. So sustained hypertension from mid to late life and hypertension in midlife, followed by hypotension in late life, was associated with an elevated dementia risk in both the Eric and the Framingham studies. So a lot of data has really shown us that a specific time point, as well as variations in blood pressure measured in these observational studies, are quite important. What I think we will see more of moving forward in observational studies that I think will be very useful as well is the incorporation of conventional and novel imaging and fluid-based biomarkers. And this is really to help us understand the mechanisms and the sequence of vascular and neuropathologic changes prior to dementia that may be a result of long-term blood pressure levels and blood pressure control. And I think this is critical to further our understanding of the impacts of blood pressure on cognitive health, as well as the potential mechanisms. So I think observational data can help answer a lot of critical questions and will ultimately also help inform the design and the effectiveness of randomized controlled trials. And I think information that can be gained from observational studies is age-specific thresholds for blood pressure that should be considered, potentially the appropriate age to initiate treatment, the degree of treatment intensity, and how age-specific blood pressure thresholds and treatment effects may differ across population subgroups and comorbidities, which I think is critical given what we know about the disparities in dementia incidence across certain subpopulations.
So bearing all of this evidence in mind, both from randomized controlled trials and from observational studies, can you tell us who and at what age would benefit the most from blood pressure control?
This is difficult to answer, and I think will require more data before a consensus or recommendation can be made, at least in terms of cognitive benefit. There's good evidence for blood pressure control for heart disease and stroke without clear limitations by age, but not necessarily for cognitive benefits yet. I think in terms of cognitive benefits, we have a significant amount of data that supports midlife as a critical time in the life course in which individuals may benefit most from optimal blood pressure control. Although I think the level of blood pressure control at any point in the life course should be considered carefully in the context of each patient's health status, as well as their comorbidities.
Finally, do these findings apply to people of all races and ethnicities?
So although there have been significant improvements in the recruitment and retention of diverse racial ethnic study populations, I think there is a continued need for observational studies and randomized controlled trials to include diverse study populations to really adequately identify and address what we know to be well-known race-ethnic disparities in dementia, as well as to help us identify population subgroup-specific optimal blood pressure thresholds for cognitive benefit. So with underrepresented minorities shouldering the greatest burden of both hypertension and dementia, I do think this is an urgent methodological issue that requires more action to help move the field forward.
You can read Dr. Poulter's research online now at thelancet.com. Thank you to Dr. Poulter, and thank you for listening to this episode of In Conversation With. Remember, you can subscribe to In Conversation With The Lancet Neurology wherever you usually get your podcasts.